This is God's show. Deal with it. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
Hello, this is Mike Kellogg. Key Life, getting you home with freedom, joy, and faithfulness to Christ. Our Bible teacher is Steve Brown. And here's Steve with a teaching for today.
Thanks, Mike. Hope your weekend was outstanding, as was mine. And I hope your pastor's sermon was outstanding, as was mine. If you're just joining us, open your Bible to the Book of Lamentations. If you're in a place where you can open it, we'll be spending this week, probably next week, in Lamentations. And then we'll move on to Ezekiel. And I love Ezekiel. I wanted to skip Lamentations because this is such a downer. Well, it's really not. I'm going to show you the future in the Book of Lamentations and how God's promises were, in fact, fulfilled. But most of the book is Lamentations. That's what it is. You don't read this for your evening devotions. It'll keep you awake all night. Now, we spent last week introducing the book, talking about some of the historical situation when the Book of Lamentations was written. We found that there were two things missing in the Book of Lamentations. First, from Jeremiah, there is no "I told you so." And there is also a place where he was the most faithful person among the people of God, and yet he associated with their sin. And then what we're going to do this week and next week is look at some of the major themes and look at some of the chapters, and there are only five of them in the Book of Jeremiah. Before we do that, it's our practice on Monday, before we study the book, to go before the throne. Let's pray. Father, forgive us when we were too religious. Forgive us when we were arrogant in our self-righteousness. Forgive us when we looked at others and thought, "Lord, I'm glad that I'm not like that person." Forgive us, Father, when we forgot that grace runs downhill, that you love us, and that we're not always very lovely. Remind us about the log that is sometimes in our eye when we try to take a splinter out of somebody else's eye. Father, we come before you knowing that we are sinful and that we're weak. Father, our boat is so little and the ocean is so big. And so we come to you as a child would come to a father, asking that you would meet us, that you would forgive our sin, that you would make us gentle and kind and wise like Jesus, that you would motivate us, that you would heal us, that you would be to us the one who makes all the difference in the world. Father, as we study your word on Key Life, we pray for the one who teaches. Forgive him his sins, for they are many. We would see Jesus and him only, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. What we're doing is looking at some of the major themes, and I mentioned this one on Friday, but let me talk about it a little bit more today. The first major theme that you need to find in the Book of Lamentations as you read it is that above all the mess, all the pathos, all the devastation, all the starvation, all the pain, is a God who is sovereign and who's in control of it. Let me show you the verses that I read last week, and then I'll show you a couple more. But you'll find this running throughout the entire book of Lamentations. In the second chapter at the first book, how the Lord has covered the daughter of Zion with a cloud of his anger. He cast down from heaven to the earth the beauty of Israel and did not remember his footstool in the day of his anger. The Lord has swallowed up and has not pitied all the habitations of Jacob. He has thrown down in his wrath. And then look down at verses 16 and 17, but it's everywhere throughout this book. All your enemies have opened their mouth against you. They hiss and gnash their teeth. They say, "We have swallowed her up. Surely this is the day we have waited for. We have found it. We have seen it." And then look at the 17th verse, because it's really important. The Lord has done what he purposed. He has fulfilled his word, which he commanded in the days of old. He has thrown down and not pitied. He has caused your enemy to rejoice over you. He has exalted the horn of your adversaries. Now, there are ways you can teach the sovereignty of God that make God into a child abuser. I mean, there's some Calvinists, and I know that's my family. We can be a mean bunch sometimes. There's some Calvinists who will tell you, listen, just God gave you that cancer. He's sovereign, so deal with it. God's not like that. And anything that violates his love and his compassion is not true when you talk about God as he relates to his people. And I do not believe that God looks down from heaven and kills off babies and gives people cancer and says, I don't like you, you part your hair funny, those of you who have hair, you part your hair funny and I'm going to give you tuberculosis or something. No, I'm not suggesting that, but I do believe that a God, a real God, is a God who for some reason has in his creative act in the world ordained all that is, and I mean every bit of it. Every bit of it. When Cameron, the famous Covenanter, was in prison, his son's head was brought to him on a platter. Oh, man. And he was, as any father would be, he was absolutely devastated. He fell in the dirt of his cell. And then he picked himself up, and with tears streaming down his face, he said, it is the Lord. Good is the will of the Lord. Now, I don't know if I could have done that, but that reflected the essence of Cameron's understanding of a God who's in charge of all of it. And let me tell you something. If you don't see God's sovereignty over the pain in your life, you're going to end up bitter and angry. You're going to end up guilty and hurt. You got to say that God is involved in it. You meet those Christians that are always living in the area of regret. Oh, I should have, I should have, I should have. Oh, man, if I'd only, if I'd only, if I'd only. You ever do that? Yeah, well, I do too. You know, I look back and think, well, you know, if I just accepted that one position, I'd be the pastor of a megachurch and rich, and everybody would know who I was, and it would be wonderful if I'd just been nicer to that pulpit committee. Or if I hadn't bought that car, it was so greedy, I wouldn't be in such debt right now. If only, if only, if only. Let me tell you something. If you're a believer, if you belong to Jesus, you have no business living in that place. Because that kind of place hurts your witness, and that kind of place is not true, because God is sovereign. Now, do note in that second chapter, he starts out in that 16th verse by saying, all your enemies have opened their mouth against you. That's bad. Go get those enemies. They hiss and gnash their teeth. How dare them do that? They say, we have swallowed her up, surely. This is the day we've waited for. How could they be so arrogant? I am going to get the enemies. In the very next verse, Jeremiah writes in Lamentations, the Lord has done what he purposed. So it's very important to remember, not in an angry way, but that God is in charge of the bad stuff too. God is in charge of the bad stuff too. Doesn't mean that you have to like it. Aren't those Christians who say, praise the Lord, it's wonderful when they find out they're dying or their bad family problems. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm not talking about that kind of nonsense. I'm talking about knowing in your heart of hearts that somehow God is in charge of this mess, that he knows what he's doing, and Romans 8:28 is true. We need to say that. We need to say that to each other, or we're not going to make it through this kind of life. That God and his power rules, that he's together. I one time spoke at a Christian high school for their Let's Get Religious Week. I told them that God loved them, and they kept on studying and ignoring what I was saying. So by Friday, man, I'd done everything. It's stood on my head and told every joke I knew, and these kids didn't care. They had too much. So I called two or three people I knew that knew how to pray, and I said, pray for me. I'm going to become Jonathan Edwards on Friday. And I did, man. I said, first, listen. If you're not listening, I got some things to tell you. God is God, and he's here today, and I'm going to call you to a commitment. And you can turn away, but I'm not going to beg for Jesus. And then I got a howitzer and let him have it. And then at the end I said, I don't want any head bowed. I don't want any eye closed. If you want to stand for Jesus, do it now. I'm waiting 10 seconds. The whole student body stood. I mean, as one, you thought it was an army. And I wanted to say, hey, sit down. That was a little bit rough. I didn't mean to say it. But we need to remind ourselves that this really is his show. We don't have to beg for Jesus. This, he wrote this. He's in charge of it. It's going to end up in exactly the way he wants it to end up. And I don't know about you. If you're not a believer, that ought to irritate you a bit. But if you're a believer, it ought to give you great comfort. And why is that? Because the God who is in charge, the God who is sovereign, is a God who loves you very much. So, do me a favor right now. Sit down and list really the stuff that irritates you in your life. Maybe some really bad stuff. Maybe some family problems or physical problems, or maybe there's somebody that's done some bad stuff to you, and you think they're ugly and they're mother dread. And if you get a chance, you're going to get back at them. Sit down and write all that stuff down, and then by faith say, God, I don't like this stuff, and I don't like it a bit. And if I had my choice, and if I were God, this wouldn't have happened. But I heard an old guy with a deep voice say that it was from you. And so I'm going to exercise Romans 8:28, and I'm going to praise you for these circumstances, even if I don't understand. You think about that. I'm in. Hey, listen, if you don't have a summer magazine, I'd love for you to see it. Love for you to have it. It's free. My friend Brian Chappell wrote a great piece, The Power of Joy. You're going to like that. And I wrote a piece that isn't half bad, The Law, God's Gateway to Freedom. There's a question and answer column. My itinerary is there. A lot of great resources to get you and those you love home with freedom and joy and faithfulness to Christ as your crowning achievement. Give us a call if you'd like it. We'll send it to you free. 1-800-KEY-LIFE, 24 hours a day. Or you can write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org. And listen, the magazine is free, and I honestly mean that. But if you can help us financially, I sure would appreciate that, too. This is a very expensive ministry. And if it's touched your life or it's ministered to you and you're called to do it, stand with us financially. You help so many others. You can charge a gift on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, include it in your envelope. And for any gift of any size, when you request it, I'll send you the cassette teaching Five Facets of God's Love. Be sure and give us the call letters of the station when you write or call. And, oh yes, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.